Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I have always seen this night as a night of absolute magic and wonder. It's a night when strange and wonderful things happen. People show up for church, the choir's in tune. That's not that unusual. But we gather to experience both the familiar, the stuff we've heard our whole lives, and to hear some new things as well. The images that we have for Christmas are all around us. There are nativities, there is beautiful poinsettias, there's kind of stained glass little nativities, all of the things that are familiar to us in Christmas. As a matter of fact, would you step out for a minute? We had a wonderful, rousing fight this year as a staff about what hymns should be sung at Christmas. I will leave it up to you to decide who won. But Christmas can be a little like a stained glass window that I saw in Germany. Mary is there in this beautiful azure blue scarf. And little pink Jesus is lying in the soft and wonderful manger. And Joseph with not a hint of confusion or anxiety on his face, beatifically beams at his new family. Even the cows and the sheep seem happy. It's beautiful. But Luke paints a different picture than that stained glass window. Luke's picture is really, in many ways, a bit more like real people in the real world. He sets the story within history. It happened in this time when these things were happening. And just like today, they were getting overtaxed. And they were taking people and making them go different places, drawing them back to their homes to be enrolled and counted. And just like today, the reservations for the room were botched. For Luke, this is how God brings unconditional love into the world. Not in a kind of magical and perfect, sterilized kind of way. God brings unconditional love into the world in a child. It's easy for most of us to get lost in that stained glass version. We find that comforting. I certainly do. It's the image I grew up with. And like maybe many of you, I would like Christmas to just always be nice and perfect and wonderful. But life intervenes. Here in our own congregation, we experienced a tragic death just days before Christmas. And I kept thinking throughout that whole process how amazing it was that God chose to be present even then. The stained glass shattered by death, and yet God remains. In the same way for us, although our perfect image of what Christmas ought to be might be frayed at the edges, God chooses still to be with us. Because you see, in that nativity scene, God makes a habit of nesting with us, of abiding with us. That's Jesus' name, Emmanuel. The one who will be with us through everything and forever. But isn't it strange how God makes it happen? It's almost as if God happened to be at the right place at the right time, and Joseph happened to be at the right place at the right time. I'll leave it up to you to decide if Mary was in the right place at the right time. And yet God unfolds God's history in such a remarkable way, and God's unconditional love comes to rest with us. These are not extraordinary people. They are, I hate to say it, just like the people sitting next to you. Though, yes, take a look. Those are the kind of people God used and invited to bring unconditional love into the world. But it didn't just happen then. God didn't just abide with people then. God abides with us now. Pastor Angela and I and her parents had an opportunity to see it in action just a few days ago. It was remarkable. We were just out tooling around on the ocean, sailing around, enjoying a beautiful day, and over the radio came someone saying, "Coast Guard, Coast Guard, there's a man in the water." If you're a sailor, you know that is never good. And then the story unfolded. She was in a small Cal 20, a small sailboat, and a young man had begun to swim from the beach straight out into the ocean. And he had no intention of stopping. She happened to be in the right place at the right time. In the vastness of the whole ocean where she could have been, she was there and she saw him in the water and she said, "Do you want help?" And he said, "No." "Will you get into the boat?" "No. I just want to swim." The woman in the boat with her companions sailed circles for what, a half an hour or so? They just wouldn't let go. They just sailed around and around and did their best to help the Coast Guard understand what the problem was. And if you know how the Coast Guard works, they just want to know, what is the description of your boat? How many are there aboard? And what is your name? "There's a man in the water." "Yes, we know. But what is your name? And what is the description of your boat? Well, what is your position?" It was wonderful. She just sailed around and round until help finally came. And the young man climbed up onto the back of Ocean Rescue's rescue sled, and they talked. I have no doubt in my mind that if that young woman in the Cal 20 had not just been sailing outside of the channel that day, if she had not been there, that young man would be dead. And no one would know. For me, that is a Christmas story of how God is present even in the midst of our most desperate times. And God didn't reach down with a magic hand and pull him out of the water. God sent a beat-up Cal 20 and a fairly nervous novice skipper with lousy radio skills to be present. God sends a little child to be present with you and with the world, to proclaim justice for those who cannot have it for themselves, to call for peace when we insist on war. God sends a little child to make the lame walk and to feed those who are hungry. And God sends that child to us. God makes a habit of nesting God's unconditional love with you. So maybe that's the point altogether. That when we least think anyone can or will come to love us, care for us, an ordinary person comes and abides. This Jesus. Amen.